And there we go, everyone. We are back again for another fantastic conversation on Friday Night Counterattack. And we are here. We are ready for another topic of conversation that has been brewing for a week or so. And we thought, you know what? Let's bring it back to the audience. Let's stop chatting on WhatsApp. Let's stop chatting on Instagram direct messages. Let's have it out in public. Let's hash it out for the top 10 Champions League upsets. And for this one, we needed a panel of, I'm not going to say there's a variable panel today because we've got three Manchester United fans and one Arsenal fan in this one as well. But we are going to be delving into the all-time upsets. So starting from 1992 when the UEFA Champions League was remarketed, I should say, as well. So introducing our panel today, he is a commentator for BBC Sport. He is working for Flash Score as well and is an absolutely fantastic. And for me personally, he should be going upwards and onwards in 2024. It is the one and only Joshua Adudonker. Joshua, thank you very much for joining the podcast today. Have you got a certified top 10 list to share with everyone and for our listeners to agree with today?
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's nice, you know. Thank you for that introduction, man. I feel very happy to be back 2024. I missed a few pods in December. Football had me. We're raring to go. Can't wait till the summer. But it will keep at it. But yeah, good to be back, boys. Good to be back. Good to be on a stream with Traps, man. I know you've introduced him yet, but he's been saying what I wanted to say about certain football clubs that I can't say. But
certain managers, certain players, all of that.
You know what I mean? So let him keep doing what you're doing. Shout out, Mandem Talk. Shout out, Trap and Tunnel. All that.
Big up.
I mean, you kind of spoiler alerted my second introduction there, but he is someone who is not afraid of speaking his mind, speaking his heart, and he's saying it every single week. He is part of Mandem Talk. He's on Trafford Tunnel, and he's cameoing a lot this season on Friday Night Counterattack. And I, for one, am absolutely loving it because when we're releasing our teaser trailers every Friday and Traps is featuring, it's a delight to edit back and see some of the funniest moments that we've had in the season so far. So, Traps, thank you very much for that. It's good to have you back on, my friend. Are you ready to make our audience laugh because of some of these upsets that made you laugh as well, Traps?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be here, man. You know, I'm always happy to come and join the panel, man. But I've got some upsets that upset me, but I've also got some upsets that made me laugh, yeah, and was very, very comical. Champions League is always been the gift that keeps giving. And in sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad, but today, I'm sure there's going to be some very funny ones, man. There's going to be some funny ones involved, man.
All I'm saying is Matthew, who is our third panelist, just put up his middle finger there when Traps is speaking. I'm not sure if that's an indirect what Matthew was doing right there to Traps. He was just there applying his lip balm and I'm just there like, nah, let's use my middle finger for this one as well. But Matthew is joining us from Back With The Net podcast, an absolute revelation of a podcast that's happened in the season. It's a fantastic show to be watching week in, week out. Not just a Premier League podcast, it's talking about the top four teams or Arsenal, who he supports, and Tottenham, who he actually loves secretly as well. He does go into a lot of teams like Luton, like Bournemouth as well. So I'm really excited about having Matthew back on the podcast because it's been very popular with our listeners this season. So Matthew, it's good to have you back on, my friend. I do need to know about your allegiances in North London later down the line as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing your top 10 list as well. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. Yes, Traps. Yes, Joshua. Being the only Arsenal fan, I've got to represent. Got to represent today, you know, lone soldier and all that. But I've got this.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time with the top 10 Champions League upsets. And what we're going to do, because what it worked really well last time we did the top 10 list at the time of recording, myself, Traps and Matthew, we all did a top 10 list where we named certain moments where it happened. And then we just put them in the top 10 list as well. But because there's four of us, as always, we have to agree unanimously to make sure it's a definitive top 10 list. Mostly because it saves me editing four separate lists on Friday Night Counterattack social media pages. But it means that we have come to an agreement after a debate and making sure that we're actually ready to go with our top 10 list as well. And now Traps is going through his phone because he's still Googling some of the top 10 Champions League upsets. But I think we're ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, here's how it's going to work. It's basically a top 10 list, but all of us need to agree on our 10 to number one in the right order as well. So without further ado, I'm going to start us off with Joshua. Joshua, I'm ready to hear an upset that you've got on your list as well. I'm going to wait to see where you put it on the list and if the rest of us actually agree that it should be on the list. as well. So fire away Joshua Adudonka for the first entry into our top 10 Champions League upsets in brackets and laughter, close brackets, draft. Not draft.
I mean, this is going to see if I'm on the right track or not in terms of this top 10, but I'm going to go Barcelona 2, Chelsea 2, Fernando Torres, Nou Camp, Di Matteo's Chelsea now to take them to Munich for their first Champions League victory in 2012. Barcelona imperious. They were European champions the year before. No, in 2010, they wanted to win it at Bernabeu. Obviously, they beat United in 09-11. They could have
09-11 as well was crazy. Two Champions League in 3 years.
I don't want to talk about that. I skipped past that. I don't know why you...
It has to be said because that's the magnitude of an upset, right? In 2011, they were champions of Europe.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, don't worry. I'm not rubbing it in your face like I'm not a Man United fan as well. Come on now. I was upset that night at Wembley Stadium. But it has to be said, they were the champions of Europe, champions of the world, champions of Spain to an extent. And they were absolutely the team to beat across the world. And it goes to show that even though I'm thinking, Chelsea, really? But actually, it was Chelsea, really? After what they did in that first leg as well. I think it was Didier Drogba who scored the goal at Stamford Bridge that made it a bit more comfortable for them in the second leg. And that's when I remember seeing Didier Drogba play at the Nou Camp as a left back for the whole game after John Terry got sent off as well. So by all means as well, Fernando Torres is one of those iconic goals that you remember at the Nou Camp from an opposition team as well. He then celebrated on his knees and Ramirez had that incredible chip, that equaliser in the game, I believe, where he just chipped Victor Valdez and you're just like, is that you, Ramirez? That is, isn't it? That was crazy talent that he had on the ball as well. So, yeah, by all means, I believe this one should make the list, but I'm going to go lower down the list on this one.
Really?
Yeah. Traps, what are you thinking? Higher up the list or lower up the list?
I'm thinking, yeah, that's got to go higher up the list, man.
Ooh, really? Matthew, what are we saying?
You know what? I think this one, it's got to go about 7th, 8th. Like, there's going to be loads more. I don't think it can go that high. Like, there's a lot more shots or, you know, upsetting games, I feel. But I think it should go on the list. I'm with you because I was thinking about it. But I don't think we can put this one that high because it's just madder upsets than this. But, it should go on the list. Let's just agree on a number, definitely.
I'd say 7. I'm happy with 7 on this one.
7, 8 for me, yeah.
Yeah. That's good to hear as well. Nicely done. Second one, I'll start with this one because this one I definitely think should deserve to go on the list as well. It may not be a knockout game in the Champions League, but it was an iconic game at Celtic Park. It was somewhere in the group stages where, again, we are talking about our favourite Spanish team again, Barcelona, losing away to Celtic 2-1 in the 2012-2013 season where Tony Watt scored the winning goal and Victor Wanyama had the best game of his career in a Celtic shirt as well. This is a team with Messi, with Sanchez, with Pedro, Fabregas, Iniesta. And Messi famously said afterwards, one of the greatest atmospheres in world football was at Celtic Park as well. So again, it was a crazy game to see. I think it finished 2-0 to Celtic or 2-1 as well, but an incredible game. And one of Celtic's greatest games modern European football history, I should say, because they are champions of Europe back in the 1950s and 60s, I believe as well. And again, they made it to the knockout stages. And as you see with Celtic year in, year out recently, they only get to fourth or maybe even third sometimes in the Champions League group stages, but they always make it nevertheless. So I think that was a really good time to be a Celtic fan. I think it was a really good time to watch an underdog thrive in the Champions League in that 2012-2013 season. I believe they lost to Juventus in the knockout stages, but they went gung-ho against Barcelona. And that, to me, has to be on the list for me. Maybe at 9, maybe at 8, but I think personally it has to be on this list. What do you think, Matthew?
Do you know what? See, if we were just saying we're just chucking in the list to just put in a top 10, that's fine. But are we ranking it and saying it's like seventh? But okay, if that's ranking the case, fifth, sixth for me. I think fifth, that was sixth. A massive. Yeah, the only thing I would say, I know it was a shock upset, but let's not remember Celtic Park for any team was a challenge. Still is now. You know what I mean? United, you guys remember, you've been there. Nakamura free kick when he said Vanegor of Hesedin can order. Yeah, them ballers there.
Great free kick, great moment for Celtic.
The atmosphere that ground creates caused problems for a lot of teams. I think the most recent times, it's only Real Madrid I've seen go there and wipe the floor with it, like easy. Yeah. So it goes in the list. Top 4, no. So yeah, for me, 5-4-6. I don't know what you guys think.
Traps, so what are we saying for this one?
Yeah, I'd say six.
Six for that one. Joshua?
I've got it in my top three, so what do I know?
You rated that very highly, so that's good.
Yeah, but it's we're talking about many, though. Do you know what I mean?
The only
reason I put it low down was because it was a group stage, not a knockout one. So I think knockout ones for me personally have so much more impact. And there's one or two that are from lower teams beating the Davids beating the Goliaths in the knockout stages. That to me means a bit more going forward. So that's kind of my point of view for having it around sixth.
I'm happy to have it sixth for those reasons, especially about knockout rounds, because there's a few others that are more tastier.
Nah, it's good. And for someone who's going to bring a tastier upset, it's time for Traps to bring up one of his ones as well. So Traps, where are we going with this one? Are you going to make the audience laugh? Because you did mention one before recording that actually did happen in the Champions League. So let's see what you got, man.
Do you know, that one there, I don't think it's that one should make the list here. But I feel like at the end, I'm going to give these ones a special mention. There's two, that a particular club have consecutively back-to-back losses, in the Champions League to minnows. Absolute minnows, But we're not going to do that now because I don't think they make the list. But I'm going to go with Man City Leon.
Oh,
hells yes. That was on my list. That's in my top five.
Big one.
That gets slept on so much as well. That Raheem Sterling miss as well. Back post, lockdown season. Crazy to see how Man City didn't end up dominating that that game, especially a neutral ground as well, if I remember.
I was going to say, was that at Sporting, that one?
It might have been Sporting, or Porto. Sporting. One of the two.
Yeah, one of the two, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Dembele come off the bench, bags a brace, knocks them out. That was a big upset, man.
Kevin De Bruyne
was as red as my top. It was crazy, man. This was definitely a giant killing. That was
We loved that.
And you know what I loved about that game as well? I think for me, that was the first, I think, was it Hossam Awar? That game, he was balling. I remember I was like, what? Arsenal, get on him, he absolutely balled. And then I don't know what's happened to him since.
I think that's the one he actually introduced himself to European football when he did it on the biggest stage against Manchester City. It was a quarterfinals as well, wasn't it, Traps?
Yeah.
When it happened. And then that's when Kylian Mbappe had that famous tweet when it was like Farmers League, lol. And then Leon and PSG got into the semi-finals of the Champions League at the time as well. So I'm really happy to have that in the list as well. So I'd say...
Well, you have to remember as well, a lot of them players from that team, because like obviously that's why Mbappe put that Farmers League LOL thing.
Mm.
Because a lot of them players actually ended up coming to the Premier League and they're now Champions League winners, a lot of them. So I think there was that Fabinho, Bernardo Silva, who else was there?
Monaco now, Traps.
Monaco, innit? My bad.
Maybe that makes the list as well. But where are we putting the Leon upset more than anything? So we've got six down, we've got five down. No, we've got seven down, we've got six down.
And where does that go, though? Yeah.
I think fourth. I was going to say five
because basically it was a team with Manchester City and it was locked down. But in reality, realistically speaking, Man City should have wiped the floor with them. And they expected to wipe the floor with them as well. Maxwell Cornet as well, the West Ham player now, scored the opening goal in that game as well. So really good to see that one. Joshua, where do you want to put this one? Where do you think?
You know, my list is funny. I've got to read it out when I finish. I put the seventh. But I agree with fifth, to be honest. Man City created so many chances that night. Oh, so many chances.
Mm. They had a midfield three that night of Gundogan, Rodri and Fernandinho as well. And you're just kind of looking at it like, come on now. They should have dominated that midfield battle, but they didn't. Memphis Depay also played for Lyon at the time, which was quite cool to see. He should really have stayed at Lyon. He was quite good there at the same time. But that's another one to the list, which is good. And I'm quite happy we've got quite a lot of upsets right now. And Joshua, this is where the pressure comes to you, my friend. Joshua, where are you putting this one on the list? Because you said you had it at seven. Are you happy with it at five?
Yeah, I'm happy at five.
That's the thing, because you were uncertain the last time. That's fine.
Yeah, I think I think seventh.
Is the Leon v Man City game greater than the Celtic versus Barcelona game? That's what I'm asking you, Joshua.
Barcelona, European champions, Messi, all the big hitters were there. Yes, Celtic Park's got a mass atmosphere, but this is Barca in their pomp. No one could touch them at all. Man City, you know, Pep, he's a bit, you know, it was lockdown ball, there was no crowd. It was, you know, play on the break. Dembele, we've seen it in Europe already where Man City have faltered against Spurs and other teams. It's fantastic for Leon. But this isn't Manchester City, you know. Oh, quick maths, it is 100 points, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I feel that Celtic beating Barcelona, Barcelona being European champions, is huge, you know, especially in that era as well, you think about it. But I'm happy to put it anyway. I think if it is, I don't think it's greater than Celtic beating Barca, I'll be honest, which is mad. I know.
Do you think it's greater than Chelsea beating Barcelona as well? Remember, European champions at the time for Barcelona, they were quality outfit, the unbeatables really in La Liga. So do you think it, Leon versus Man City, who again weren't the same Man City in European football, do you think it's still higher or lower? What do you think?
I think it's lower than I think what Chelsea did was better. So a bigger shock, rather. Yeah. A bigger shock, I think.
Remember, they're on 10 men as well. John Terry sent off.
Yeah. Injuries. So interim
coach, wasn't it? Di Matteo.
Yeah, Di Matteo. One off game as well. There was no two legs as well. So it was a proper, like, you know, it was in a lockdown ball. This is me defending Man City. I feel nasty, but you know, I just think
putting you on the spot here, Joshua. That's what we like to see.
If I'm being honest, I think it should be seventh, innit? I'll be honest, guys. I feel like that Celtic game and the Chelsea game is higher. Personally. Okay.
But the Celtic game that was a group stage, though.
Yeah, but yeah. Barcelona wiped the floor out. Look what they did to United in Wembley. Look what they were doing in La Liga. That was, you know, all the
5-0 versus Real Madrid in La Liga as well. El Clásico.
Yeah. You know, Javi, all your ballers at their pump. None of this, oh, this guy's on his way out. It's a mess result. But, you know, I'm happy to put Leon ahead of Celtic, to be fair. I don't know. I'm happy to do whatever.
Yeah, no, we can switch it, man. We can switch it.
So just to confirm, we've got Chelsea versus Barcelona at 7 at the moment. We've got Celtic versus Barcelona at 6. And Man City versus Leon. Are you saying goes above Chelsea v Barcelona, but below Celtic versus Barca? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. In the middle.
So yeah. Chelsea Barca goes to 8. Man City versus Leon goes to 7. Celtic Barcelona stays at 6, which is all good.
Oh.
I'm liking this. Pressure's on now. Matthew, let's hear it, Matthew. Are we going for a North London team? Because there's a few upsets that a few North London teams have caused and been the victims of as well recently. So I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on RC Lens beating Arsenal in the group stages of the Champions League.
You know what? I'm stuck between two games. I've got another one if I was Barca, but I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to skip that one for now. I'm going to go to the La Riador Deportivo Milan.
He's done it. He's pulled the hat on the... this is crazy.
Let me tell you, I don't know about you lot, yeah, but growing up, I used to love certain Spanish teams. And there was something about Deportivo when he used to have Valeron, Diego Tristan, what's his name, Luque. Like, they had this weird, and that blue kit, I used to love watching them. And they got smoked in that first leg. And I thought, there's no way they're done. Game's done.
4-1 in the first leg at the San Siro as well.
And that, and remember, I think that was the same AC Milan. I don't think they really conceded that year in the tournament as well. Vinicius kept like 8 clean
sheets. It's the one they lost 4-0.
Yeah, that one. And I think someone, like, was it Juan Fran or Fran scored a random deflected goal. And
you had Walter Pandiani scoring in that game as well.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think that was a big one. That was massive because AC, you know, we talk about teams being at the top of their game. AC were top then. Strong team, clean sheets.
AC Milan were European champions at the time as well. Remember winning in 2003 at Old Trafford with all the footballs in the air, at one of those boring Champions League finals I've ever seen, at 0-0 going to penalties, and it was Buffon versus Dida. But remember that AC Milan team managed by Carlo Ancelotti, Shevchenko, Inzaghi, Seidel, Dida, Nesta, Maldini, and then you just faltered against Deportivo La Coruña. Losing 5-4 in aggregate in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. For me, this was in my top three. This was a very big one for me. Where do you put yours?
Third, this one. I think that's a good one. Third. Because at least if we need be, we can twist it a little bit. Maybe come to a different...
Maybe we can alter the list. Maybe. Let's see if the judges will allow it. I had it third. Traps, what about you? Is that quite high for you?
Yeah, I'd probably say fourth.
Joshua?
Yeah, full third. What a campaign, 2003-2004.
Oh.
Like, that's just peak football at its best. Yeah. The storylines and the plays that emerge from that. Amazing, mm-hmm. man. You don't see it no more since Man City bought the world, you know? but no, I'll put it fourth or third. I'm happy either way. That's a proper killing. That is a, you know, four goals. You're losing like that and man. To go in, yeah.
I think it's the fact that AC didn't get one. That's what I'm a bit like. That's mad.
They couldn't score away. And remember, away goals counted at the time as well.
Yeah, big time. Craziest thing.
But no, that's a really good one to go for. We've got that one on the list. Let me just add it to our chat. So AC Milan versus Deportivo at four. Who's vibrating, by the way? Corunia. You hear that in the background.
My phone keeps ringing.
Just going through. That's okay, not to worry. If we're going for all-time upsets, it's going to be very crazy because we have to go... I think we have to go somewhere recent for this one as well. We're going to Real Madrid for this one. And we're going towards Real Madrid versus Ajax. Erik ten Hag's masterclass versus Real Madrid. Traps has frozen his phone. He's also frozen in fear after hearing the name Erik ten Hag, after everything he's been saying. I think there's another Real Madrid one I can go for. But I think Joshua may have this one on his list. So with this one, Ajax versus Real Madrid, again, Traps is still in fear. I'm going to make fun of it until he's back online. But I think Erik ten Hag absolutely bodied Real Madrid in this game. It was absolutely incredible. I think it was a Zinedine Zidane managed team as well, which is crazy to see what he actually did. Erik ten Hag at the time as well. Getting to the semi-finals of the Champions League and you're just looking like this young Ajax.
Can you see me?
I can see you, but you're still frozen, Traps.
You're still don't want to Ten Hag. Don't want to Ten Hag talk.
But no.
Yeah, you're back now, which is good. But we're doing
it. That was Ten Hag doing that was. He knew what I was going to say.
He definitely did as well. Oh, Matthew, we're going to have to continue speaking about this one because I'm just going to start coughing. So it's about Erik ten Hag bodying Real Madrid whilst I recover from that. Traps needs to stop.
You know what? I remember that game. It was so funny. I was actually going to Power League and I remember I saw the fixture. I was like, man, it's done. Burn about everything. And I remember hearing the score again. I told you they'll get dumped, Ajax. They were like, no, Ajax won. So what? How? And I put it on and even watching the highlights, they had a random guy in midfield. It begins with an S. He was balling. Shone.
Yeah, that's it.
Balling that game. Absolutely balling. And I remember he was one of them. I was like, oh, again, like, I wonder where he's going to go. I don't know where he is now. Haven't heard from him for a long time. But there's so many guys in that team that were absolutely one. That was Ten Hag for me. Ajax at the peak. I know some people in his chat don't like him. Yeah. But that team, he had them looking real good, man. Real, real good.
The fact with that team as well, Dusan Tadic had one of the greatest individual performances in Champions League history as well, which is crazy to see. And that Real Madrid team was the season after Cristiano Ronaldo had left, the season after Real Madrid won the Champions League against Liverpool 3-1 in Kiev as well. So it was a big change for Real Madrid, but they still had some very big players in that team. Karim Benzema, Kroos, Modric, Casemiro in the midfield as well. You had obviously Courtois in goal and obviously you had Rafael Varane at the back, but that team is a crazy team to think about. It's a crazy team to actually worry about because you're looking at all of these players now. De Jong not doing great at Barcelona. Daley Blind at Girona doing quite well, respectively. Van de Beek on loan at Frankfurt after being poor at Manchester United. Dusan Tadic at Fenerbahce. What a crazy team it really was for Erik ten Hag. It just got dismantled overnight, realistically, over a season or two. And it just... Ajax now in the relegation zone in the Eredivisie at the time of speaking. But Joshua, what's your thoughts on this one? Does this go high or does this one go low? Because there's a few other Real Madrid upsets we could mention in this list.
Part of me says this is number 10. Part of me feels like that.
I've got that feeling, nine or 10.
You know, I think it was a fine performance. It was nice for Ajax, isn't it? Huge club, big club in Europe, fantastic history, tradition. Every football fan, has a place, you know, you have a little small spot. Unless you support, of course. My head, I'm not doing any justice here.
It's absolutely fine, because just like Josh was wearing a dressing gown on the podcast today.
Final.
Andre Onana was wearing a dressing gown at the Bernabeu because he only conceded one goal and to see Andre Onana at the Bernabeu and you can see one goal and you can see it's like three on average for Manchester United. It's crazy to see how he regresses as a goalkeeper. And you can see by Traps' expression, he's not very happy that Onana is our goalkeeper. And he's probably very happy that he's off at AFCON being benched by Cameroon as well, which is great to see. But
more than what he deserves, that's all he deserves, mate.
Third choice goalkeeper for Cameroon. That's what I want to see. I want to see Tom Heaton starting for Man United. That's all I want to see. Give him his flowers like Johnny Evans. But I'm happy with this one going at 10. Matthew, what would you say for this one?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I feel like, yeah, Joshua did say it's true. Like, I feel they're just a lot better games. It was a big performance by Ajax, but I just think there were bigger upsets than that one, definitely.
Nah, nicely done, nicely done. Traps, fire away, my friend. Where are we going with this one?
I mean, anything that you've seen Ten Hag do in the Champions League, you've seen the likes of Unai Emery do it with Villarreal. So yeah, put it at 10. Yeah, you know I mean, especially to go and do that and then end up going bottling a 3-0 lead to Spurs. Definitely put it at 10.
That's why I didn't want to mention the Spurs one. I don't want to get you angry on the podcast. So we'll leave the Ajax hype for a bit on this one as well, which is great. Who wants to go next? Traps, let's let you have a go next. Have you got something that will go quite high on the list? Because of the few that I've got where I'm thinking, you know what? If you guys remember it, it's very good for you. But if you haven't got it on the list, it'll be very difficult.
No, I mean, I think the ones I've got are pretty much top five. I don't know, maybe is it? No, it's not really an upset though. I'm going to go for this one, yeah. This one was personal to me. It still burns to this day, yeah. But I'm going, yeah. Porto 3, United 2. Yeah, I'm going for that one. That one, for me, Hulskov's goal was not offside. VAR today, we would have been through. They would have been out. But unfortunately, that's not how the game was played back then. Well, that's not how the refereeing was done back then. And yeah, I thought it still burns. And I think that I just think that one there, that was the one for me, man. That was the making of Jose Mourinho, do you know what I mean? That was when I remember him running down the touchline, and I thought, oh, you don't even deserve it, man, do you know what I mean? But yeah, that one for me, that one hurt, that's a personal one. To this day, still hurts, man.
I was watching the highlights of that today as well, and I was like, Quinton Fortune scores in the first leg, Hulskov's goal was offside as well in the second leg, and you're just looking at these players like Minij, Costinha, Benny McCarthy, our new attacking coach, took the free kick where Tim Howard parried it into Costinha's way. And you're like, come on now, that is not what we want to see from a number one goalkeeper. Then I realised, Tim Howard wore number 14, and you're just like...
No, but you know what, let me say though, obviously playing in goal, I loved when he first came. The saves he was pulling off, yeah, were absolutely phenomenal. And I remember thinking, number 40, I've got, you know what? I shouldn't even admit this.
What, I've that got Community a, Shield win?
Hey, listen, I remember
his debut.
He had the grey keeper kit and it had like teal green. I never forget it. Yeah, number 14. And then I remember I got 14 on one of my keeper kits because I used to like how you played. Anyway, let me not admit that.
Nah, it's all good. But I think personally, this one is one of the biggest upsets. It might pay me to have it, but I'm thinking number 4 for this one. Traps, what do you think? Remember, they won the Champions League that year as well.
That
put Mourinho into ascendancy like that.
I mean, that's why it's one of the biggest. I think it's one of the biggest upsets. I mean, it's been a lot since then, but I think that the fact that they actually done that and then went on to win the Champions League makes it, you know what I mean, even that more of a greater achievement. So, yeah, I'd say, what numbers do we have?
So I think 5 is still 3.
We've got Ajax versus Real Madrid at 10. We've got Chelsea versus Barcelona at 8. Man City versus Lyon at 7. Celtic versus Barcelona at 6. Ajax, AC Milan versus Deportivo La Coruña at 3, or 4, which would be one of those things. And then Porto versus Man United could be rather 3 or 4 as well.
All right, we'll put it at four.
Porto versus Man United at 4, which is all good. Right then. Matthew, you want another go? You want to talk about your boyhood club Arsenal this time around?
No, yeah, listen, let me not talk about Arsenal, all right? We're still...
One of us will at the end of the day. So if you want to control the narrative, I'm allowing you to do so. So by all means, it will come out.
We're still in Champions League. Don't talk about my team when it comes to Champions League, yeah?
You haven't done anything in the Champions League. So that's why we're talking about
it. How can you not talk about Arsenal Football Club in the Champions League when all we've heard is 19 consecutive seasons in the Champions League? Yeah,
Fourth place is a trophy.
However, Arsenal was right because everyone's now battling for that same top four. So he visionary. Was right. Arsenal was right. I've got a couple here, but I'm going to go with... I've got two. Oh, again, do I involve Barca yet?
Again.
There's one major Barca one, sure, something, but I'm not going to mention that one. Mm. Well, the one I'm going to mention is the Greek God in Rome.
Ooh.
2018.
You are talking about Barcelona.
But I was going to do a different one, different Barca. But this one, okay. Big game. Bit like, we all remember the commentary. Joshua, you've been a pundit. You remember that commentary. Was it Peter Drury?
Peter Drury. Yeah.
Just hearing that, yeah. Even when I listened to it now, oh my God, that actually, like, that game, because they got smoked again. First leg, battered, I thought, dead and buried. And they just pulled it back in second leg. It wasn't the best Barca team, because they had, like, Umtiti, I think Rakitic in midfield.
Semedo. Don't disrespect Rakitic, though. Quality player he was.
No, I'm not disrespecting, but they weren't the Xavi, Iniesta and Busquets midfield. It was still a good midfield. Mm. And Roma had, like, the likes of, like, was it Fazio at the back and all of that?
They had Manolas, obviously. No. They had De Rossi. They had Edin Dzeko.
Your guy, your underrated guy. And
Joshua, by the way, Traps, answer this for us. Answer with debate. Is Edin Dzeko underrated as a footballer?
He is, yeah.
Joshua, you're losing this battle. It's not. Joshua said Edin Dzeko is not underrated. He's underappreciated. So I'm just like,
yeah.
He's probably both, but he's definitely still underrated.
He's not underrated. Like, I'm not having this. This is not.
I'll be honest with you. Edin Dzeko, yeah, what you have to remember is that Edin Dzeko has been going for a very long time with a very good rate of goal scoring.
He's rated.
But he's not. Because
top 10 strikers in world football right now, no one's probably, Edin Dzeko.
Because it's probably 10 better.
Yeah, but even when you talk to Man City fans, they never, ever mentioned Dzeko. Never.
Yeah. Well, they got Aguero and Haaland. I wouldn't either.
but if you think about it, if your history period is 10 years, yeah, you can mention at least five of them strikers. You know what I mean? Dzeko goes in there.
All I'm going to say, the reason why I agree and I think it's underrated, I'm the real trap, what Traps just said. That game where they beat QPR, let's not forget, yeah, he came on and he got the header that got them thinking, right, we can pull this back. And he was clutch in so many games for them. Like, unbelievable player, but didn't get the respect at all. I don't think he did anyway. I mean, it was underrated. Yeah,
fair enough.
I can see Hamza holding the smile, you know?
I'm looking at Joshua.
Where is Suki?
I'm looking at Joshua and I'm like, this is a full circle moment for me.
He's not underrated. Like, we're hearing this. This is like, no, like, Dzeko got his flowers.
By who? Who gave him his flowers? Tell me one person.
That's not my business. If Man City fans are going to rate him, that's not my business.
Tell me one person in the media who gave Edin Dzeko his flowers last season in the Champions League. In the Champions League, remember what happened with CBS interviewing Romelu Lukaku after being a bench player. They didn't go to Martinez. They didn't go to Dzeko. Mika Richards, Jamie Carragher, Thierry Henry, Kay Abdo, they all went to Romelu Lukaku because he could speak a couple languages. They never went to Edin Dzeko once. Disrespected player. Definitely one of the best strikers I've ever seen.
Romelu Lukaku cost him the Champions League, just saying.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. And he got all the airtime last season. Not Martinez and not Edin Dzeko.
Yeah, this one will rumble on for sure. Don't worry. I'll bring raw reinforcements.
Are you going to bring Edin Dzeko next time? Use the connect.
I might do. I might just say to him, listen, bro. You could have headed that wide in 2012. Do you know what I mean?
It could have gone over just in case. But Joshua, whilst we're still on the case as well, where do you rank this Roma 3, Barcelona 0 iconic comeback at the Stadio Olimpico in this list as well?
Yeah, I think eighth. I think Barca are on their way down. I know the year later they got smoked by Liverpool, Anfield. Mm. That's when Messi was really carrying them. There wasn't that team. I think Neymar had moved on. Yeah, he had moved on.
I think he had, yeah.
He's moved on to PSG. Good result for Roma. But Roma got smoked by Liverpool next round, so I can't rate that, so.
Their own goalkeeper, innit? Their own goalkeeper got by Salah.
Yeah, I listened to that. So, yeah, dash them like 8th, 9th.
That's cool. I'll put it at 8th as well. Traps, are you happy with that? Number 8?
Yeah, I'm happy with that, yeah.
Cool, nicely done. But yeah, Roma versus Barcelona is one of the most iconic fixtures for Roma in the Champions League. And as you know, and just as Joshua and Matthew were discussing, Peter Drury's iconic commentary was all improvised because Peter Drury actually didn't know the player who scored. So he said, at last, Roma has risen from their ruins. And then he looked at his notes, he saw Manolas, he matched the number together. And then he actually got it back as well. As a fun fact that Peter Drury mentioned recently as well, which was great to see. Right then, who have we got next? Who should I pick? I'm going for Joshua for this one. Are Man United making the list in a good way for this one, Joshua?
Everything's made the list. So I've got a little cheeky one for Matt especially. But it's one that like Trap spoke off air about games that, you know, resonate with him as shocks, isn't it? And this may not be a shock. But in that period, just in that snapshot, in that night, Wayne Bridges' goal at Highbury in that game between Chelsea and Arsenal. Chelsea had struggled against Arsenal for years. But just an honourable mention. But I just thought I'd just dash it there. Does it get 10?
The unbeatable season as well, 2003.
Can I say something about that game? Because Joshy, you know you've done that. That was the first time when I realised that I took Arsenal real serious. I remember punching in my flat the glass. I was so vexed because I remember we battered them in that game as well. And then I remember Bridge scored and started doing this, and Ranieri and everyone in the subs bench jumping. Horrible game. I don't know why you mentioned it, but thank you, Joshua.
I love that game. Bring me back to real football. Away goals, bring me back.
But I agree. I think in general, as a neutral, that is a perfect Champions League game. Everything about it was fantastic, yeah.
When you're thinking about it as well, that might have been the first time I watched genuinely two English clubs in the Champions League in a knockout stage together for the first time. So that was really cool for me to actually understand that, again, home and away is very different in European football compared to home and away in the Premier League as well. Yeah. I'm not talking about the away goals. I'm talking about the way that they played, the competition that they were going through as well. And it happened really a lot with Liverpool and Chelsea over the years, the 2000s. And then especially for me, one that stands out is Man United versus Chelsea 2011, when they were under Carlo Ancelotti and we played a really defensive game at Stamford Bridge and we won. And we never won against them in the league. And I think Wayne Rooney scored the winning goal at Stamford Bridge. So, nice little shout out there, Joshua. I do appreciate that as well. But again, I don't think I'll get into the list. Respect.
Yeah, fair enough. Nothing has gone to the list. I've got one more. I'm allowed one more. A little one more bite.
Go on. Throw it out there.
Manchester United against PSG in 2019.
I like that.
Because it was historic. I know.
Romelu Lukaku's greatest game as a Man United player.
It was.
Axel and ZB. Axel as well.
You don't know ball. He did not play in that game.
He
did not play in that game.
I'm sure he did. He didn't. I'm gonna double check that because
look at Traps judging you from the background, Matthew. Matthew onto the podcast for?
No, wait.
Joshua, talking about the knockout game when Marcus Rashford scored the penalty past Gianluigi Buffon? Or are you talking about the group stage game when Marcus Rashford scored past Keylor Navas? You said it with chest.
I said he was mad at it. Relax yourself.
He said Axel Tuanzabe, he was amazing.
But he was in that game though. Am I lying?
Not that game. Lying? Another game. That's like so many years
ago. But it was still Man United PSG. Yeah, cool. I know ball.
That's the only thing you know Axel Tuanzabe from as well, so I don't mind.
What positions do we have left?
So 2019, obviously, first team to come back from two-goal deficit. So I think that's got to be in there somewhere. Not high, but maybe to feeling like a, like Trap said, where is it? Maybe feeling like a nine or something. Ollie's famous
nine. It wasn't a pen.
Yeah, it was. That good. Yeah, that looks best ever thing he's ever done in United shirt.
Kempembe put the chicken wing off. Come on.
Oh, God.
Needs to be done. So, just to confirm, we've got Ajax versus Real Madrid at 10. We've got Man City versus Lyon at 7. Celtic versus Barcelona at 6. Porto versus Man United at 4. Roma versus Barcelona at 8. AC Milan versus Deportivo around 3. So, it looks like we've got 5 and 9 available, and then we've got the top. We put them at 9?
I think that one, I think I should put five,
you know.
I don't mind putting it five.
You know why?
Nine.
If it goes nine, then I feel like my ones, the ones that I've got, I've just either top three or obsolete.
Yeah, there's some that I'm looking at here. I'm not sure they're going to make the list, but PSG versus United. Remember that team that Man United had as well? That starting lineup was crazy to see. The subs we brought on as well. Mason Greenwood for his debut. Tahith Chong coming off the bench as well. Axel Tounsabia to wait a couple years until he played in Paris. Matthew. So yeah, there's one of those things when I'm looking at that bench and I'm like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, what miracles with the players.
Masterclass that was. That was a masterclass that was.
And I think I agree.
Do you know what was good about that one as well? Do you remember after the first leg? He said, I can't remember what he said directly.
Mountains are there to be climbed.
Mountains are there to be climbed. Yeah. And he took it in his stride. He was like, look, this, I know it's a bad result, but this is not over.
I was at that game as well. I was at that home game when Kylian Mbappe scored and Kimpembe was just there being an idiot and Pogba got sent off. They're in a Stretford with my brother and my cousin. And we were going home and we're just like, this is definitely not what we want to see. Interim Rashford manager.
Rushing with the famous head rub.
Mm. Ashley Young pushing out Di Maria into the sidelines as well. That was worth the price of admission.
I was hurting that game. Well. I really thought you lot
were
done.
You were high in that game? What did you say, Matthew?
No, I remember I was hurting. I remember when the penalty came, I went, here we go. Jammy United again. Here we go.
Jammy. It never happened before, ever. That's what it should be high in.
It was history.
It never happened, ever.
No. Not in terms of, I mean, like, you know, being an Arsenal fan, I hate seeing United win. So I was like, why are they getting another
goal? I hadn't noticed that, Matthew. I can't lie.
Do you know what I've noticed about Matthew? Do you know how you can tell? Matthew's a hater.
He's a pure hater.
It's not that he's a hater. You can tell that he's an Arsenal fan. Do you want to know why? Because he always makes a decision after the first leg. Because his team lets him down, usually, after the first leg.
Do you know what?
Monaco as well. That Monaco game against Arsenal, that was crazy.
Why are you doing this? You see what I'm saying?
There's been worse ones.
That hurt me, all right? I had that. That's an honourable mention on my list.
Berbatov and Martial killing it. I love to see it. That's all I'm saying.
And Carrasco, for goodness sake.
Nah, it was a good one. Right, I've got to organise this in a professional fashion. So we've got Roma versus Barcelona at 8. We've got Ajax versus Real Madrid at 10. We've got Man City versus Lyon at 7. We've got Celtic versus Barcelona at 6. We've got no one at 5. We've got Porto versus Man United at 4. We've got AC Milan versus Deportivo La Coruña at 3. So there's no number 9 and there's no number 5. Matthew, where do you think this one should go for PSG versus Manchester United?
I think 9. And that's only because I feel like we've all got a lot more like coming up where I feel they deserve to go higher. Like I literally scrolled down my list and I'm like, no, that has to go lower. There's so many more that we're going to come up with. So yeah, 9 for me.
Joshua?
Yeah, I'm going to go 9 as well.
Yeah. Traps?
It's a majority. I mean, Joshua put forward a good case though for it to go lower, but
I'm a bit distracted, Garner winning right now. So I'm a bit
Salah's right. being silenced right. right now.
Yeah, let's put it at nine.
PSG versus Manchester United versus Man United goes at 9. Right. So now we've got 5, 2, and 1 to go. And this is where we can just debate however we want because we've got 3 positions left to pick. And one name that I want to throw out there, one fixture I need to throw out there, we're going to 2013. We are off to Germany. We're off to the Signal in Duna Park. We are seeing Cristiano Ronaldo score a goal in Germany. Oh. But we're also seeing Robert Lewandowski score not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 goals at home to take Borussia Dortmund through to their first Champions League final since the late 90s. And Jurgen Klopp is buzzing on the touchline. So this one has to be in the list. But Joshua, where does this one rank for you in terms of all-time Champions League upsets?
What's the lowest? What's the lowest you got?
5, I think.
Yeah, I put that at five. I put that at five. That Dortmund side, what they've been able to do later in their career suggests that, and manager, suggests that, I don't think it was that big of a shock. Real Madrid.
Is that hindsight talking more than anything, Joshua? Because when you're looking at it at the time, Borussia Dortmund would never really beat Real Madrid at all. But when you're looking at it now, Lewandowski's killed it for Bayern.
Better team, yeah. Yeah, it is hindsight. But even when it happened, because they were having such a good season and the players that were coming out of it and you know, Klopp, charisma and everything and being emphatic, Lewandowski was absolutely certain in 2012 in the Euros. And I just don't think it was one that was, oh my day, how did that come from? And Real Madrid weren't the Zidane Real Madrid or the Galactica Real Madrid. They were going through that weird period where they just couldn't win games. And I think they beat Manchester United in the last 16 when Nani got sent off that year when it really wasn't a sending off. And we were in control of that game. So we could have knocked them out. So, I think, and look at Gundogan, Lewandowski, ballers on ballers. So I wouldn't put them lower because you're talking about legends of the European game in the last 20 years. So I'm saying five.
Joshua, you don't know ball. Who was the goalkeeper for Real Madrid in that fixture?
Oh, it wasn't Casillas because Mourinho had beef with Casillas at the time.
Who's the other goalkeeper? What year was that?
This is 2013.
Would it not have been...
No, I don't want to say it. Just in case I get it wrong.
Say it. Who knows ball?
Weren't the keeper called Bravo or something?
No, it was Lopez, wasn't it?
Lopez.
Diego Lopez,
Lopez.
Of course I know ball. Don't be rude, Hamza. Don't be rude.
I need to test you how I test Matthew as well, so I don't want Matthew to think I'm picking on him as well. So I gave you an easy question there to start us off.
Whatever.
It's all good. Traps, what do you think about this one? Dortmund annihilating Real Madrid and going to the German final.
This is the thing, though. That's what I mean. So look, so I don't see how this game, like Joshua.
Remember,
said,
it's the semi-final though as well. That's the craziest thing. Two legs away goals still count as well. Bernabeu is something different for them entirely. That's why I've got this one quite high at round number five. No, I had this higher on my list as well. But sorry, you were going to say, Traps.
I don't see how that. I don't rate that game over the over the United game at that number nine, purely for the fact that, like Joshua said, that team was stacked. Yeah, we just didn't know it. Yeah, so I mean, but if it's no problem with it going fifth. If it goes fifth. But I'm just saying, I think that one's a bit of a Jurgen Klopp hype. That one, you know what I mean? That's a bit of a. I think that's what that
preach,
is.
Preach.
What was more of a hype, the 4-0 against Barcelona for Liverpool or this one for Real Madrid?
I think this one would probably be more hyped. But you know, I mean, in terms of in what context do you think? Do you mean like which one was more was better or was more like hype?
The latter. What was more hyped? That was more hype.
Yeah, that one definitely, because the 4-0, that was crazy. That was crazy. No one expected that, and nobody expected that.
Corner taken quickly.
Do you know what's crazy as well about that? I remember speaking to one of my friends that supports Liverpool, and he was like, "Yeah, don't worry, 4-0. Don't worry, we're gonna beat them 4-0. And I was just in my head thinking, "You're deluded, mate. You are absolutely deluded." Yeah, and as soon as the fourth goal went in, my phone started ringing. I thought, "Oh, do you know what? I have to answer this because he I have to give him these flowers, man. He didn't believe in it, man. He believed in it."
Nah, that's good to hear. That's a good. It's quite cool. It's two people a bit like, well, both Joshua and Traps are a bit like, yes, not too high for me. Matthew, do you agree with the rest of the guys? Do you think it should be lower and we should rearrange the list?
Yeah, I think lower and rearrange, definitely. I feel like it was a big one, but again, there's just too many other games. Like, yeah, too many. So I'll definitely lower it, rearrange. I would maybe, sorry, Hamza, to say it, I'd maybe take out that Ajax one. Maybe.
Ajax versus Real Madrid.
Maybe. Because I feel like I did forget about the Dortmund. I forgot about that one, the Real Madrid. And that was a big deal. I just think the Ajax and Real Madrid can be replaced by something else. That's for me anyway. I'm sure everyone else is entitled to it. But yeah, I feel that.
Nah, it's good to see as well. We'll keep it on the list with an asterisk next to it. Let's see if it makes the list at the end. But it was a really good one to go for. Matthew, go ahead. Where should we go for as one of the greatest Champions League upsets? Because we've still got one and two available as well. So I'd like to see what you've got as one of your greatest upsets in Champions League history.
Okay. Got too many good ones. This one, involves Real Madrid. I'm going to go for 2022 Real Madrid, Manchester City.
Upset.
And this one. No, no, it wasn't upset. I thought a shock. In terms of, I'm talking about the moment in the game. So my whole thing is, I know we're going upsets and shocks. The reason why I'm going with this one. At 89 minutes and whatever, Real Madrid were dead and buried. Yeah. It was done. The game was finished. City, if you remember close as well, City had two chances through Grealish. He had one off the line by Mendy and the one where Courtois went and saved it. And everyone thought the game was done.
GG.
And in a split second, exactly, split second, the game turned his head. Rodrigo double, wasn't it? And then the header. So yep. For me, that's a big one. If you don't want to go with that, my backup option was, again, this is another shock. I went for the Barcelona PSG. At the new camp, when they were, what was it, half mark, 4-0 down from first leg, was it?
And come round 6-1.
Ridiculous. I don't care how good the team is. I don't care what players you have. PSG was still decent. You know,
Emery PSG.
Yeah. You know, PSG, Cavani, Di Maria. I think, was Di Maria, was he there? I'm not too sure. But I think Cavani missed a couple of chances that one and got the goal eventually. For me, that one would have been a shock as well because no one expected him to come back. Especially, did PSG get the first goal or did they equalise?
No, they got like, it was like 3-1, I think.
3-1, they got one back in, yeah. And yeah, so that one as well. But yeah, between the both of them, probably let's go Barca PSG one, that one for me. Because it could be down 4-0 first leg, come back second leg. And I think, was it Sergio Roberto scored right at the end, last? Phenomenal scenes, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'll go over that one, if anything.
I remember speaking about this game on this podcast around a year ago as well, when we talked about the Champions League and how everyone was gassing up Neymar as his greatest game in a Barcelona shirt and Verdi. So, but the media were all talking about Lionel Messi because he had that iconic picture of him standing above the fans in the press. So everyone was talking about Lionel Messi in the media. And that was what caused Neymar to leave Barcelona because he never got the plaudits he deserved or he thought he deserved because of the assists that he made, the free kicks that he scored, the penalties that he scored, and that last-minute assist to Sergio Roberto as well.
Was a momentum swing. That free kick was a real momentum. So when he scored that, you could see the crowd got up and then that was it. Yeah, he did get enough respect there, definitely.
Joshua, your thoughts on this game? Do you think it should be on the list and do you think it should be as high as it should be?
What was the first game, Matt, again, you said?
So the first one I mentioned was a Real Madrid one. 89 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah. Man City. Yeah. Two goals, I think PSG Barcelona has got to be on the list. For all the things you mentioned, you know, iconic performances. Neymar gets a lot of slander online between media people, but he's a wonderful footballer. His record for Brazil speaks for himself. He is good. He is rated. He is what he is. Yes, he hasn't turned up in certain moments.
Is Neymar underrated like Edin Dzeko, Joshua?
Oh, God. We're going to have another pod for this. No comment on that. But I think, I think this should be on the list. PSG, well in control in the tie. And Barcelona, they weren't the team of, you know, the 2011s, 2012s, MSN, 2015. And to come out and to produce that, when everybody felt they were down and beat, especially on the night as well. And you talk about the iconic moment, that goal by Roberto at the end. Yeah, I'd put that deep in because although we're talking about shocks and, of course, Mineiro's beating, you know, big teams, a lot of these results, I mean, to be fair to us, not on the list, but a lot of these results that we've seen, the big team isn't as good as they are now. So, for example, when Dortmund beat Madrid are not, you know, in their pomp. That's why I think the Celtic-Barcelona one was strong because Barca were on it. Barca were very good. So to see, you know, Barcelona come back to beat PSG, that was a shock. But I'll be honest, I'm gonna cause a bit of chaos. If that's high, then Ollie's masterclass has got to be higher because we don't see these things like that. Traps is going to be smiling. I know he is, but I think so. But it should be on the list.
Traps is a bit upset because we're positively talking about Barcelona as well. And he's just I wanted to cause chaos by not talking about Barcelona in a positive light. But do you have any positive thoughts on having this one where Matthew suggested putting the Barcelona one or the Manchester City one on the list, Traps?
I feel like for them to go on the list, you got to take something off. I feel like something has to be removed because they're not going first or second. There's no chance.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
So
what we'll do We'll ad lib it from here as well. We've got all the ones we want to talk about. We can rearrange the list later on. It's perfectly fine. But we've spoken about a lot of these ones because I think personally for me, there's three more I want to speak about. There may be two or three that you've got to speak about as well, but we'll speak about them. And then at the end, we'll go for our definitive top 10 list because that's what we're here for. We're here to make sure the top 10 list is unanimously agreed by everyone as well. So Man City versus Real Madrid. And Barca versus PSG. Before I let Traps go for his one, I need to interject. I do need to mention a very, very crazy upsetting game in the world of Los Blancos. Real Madrid did have another great upset back in the year of 2003 and 2004, where Joshua said football was pure, football was great, and it really, really was as well. I'm getting text messages from Ghanaian fans and Ghanaian friends as well, so shout out Ghana at this time speaking. Matthew doesn't really care about Ghana, which is all good. I don't mind it at all.
I care.
Yeah, but you think Edin Dzeko is underappreciated. So I'm not a fan of that as well. Introduced into the list, if they make the list, Real Madrid versus Monaco, 2003-2004. You can clap if you want. It's fine. Bet clap for me as well. Traps is just there like, Morientes, what a baller he was. Before he went to Liverpool as well, of course. But that was a crazy storyline because we talked about Porto beating Manchester United to get to the final as well on their way. But on the other side of the coin as well, Porto played Monaco in the final as well. That Monaco team with a young Patrice Evra, Ludovic Juli, Jerome Rotten as well on the wings and Fernando Morientes up front. Iconic comeback that they had to beat Real Madrid. Galacticos Real Madrid, Beckham, Zidane, Figo, Roberto Carlos, Iker Casillas, one of the most expensive teams ever assembled in the early 2000s as well. And they were humbled by Monaco back in the day as well. Matthew, talk me through if you remember that leg at the Stade Louis second stadium as well, because that was an incredible game to watch if you had that.
You know what's so funny? I put that on here as one of my notes. Mm. And I said, wait, so that was Ludovic Juli, that guy. Little rat, so quick, just had everything. He was so, I don't know. There was something about him that used to irritate me, but he was quality. I can't deny it.
Was it his face?
Morientes quality. And you know what? Why I used to find weird about Monaco? I think back then they had this weird thing. I know you look like a bit weird. I look at the little things. They used to have these green nets. I think like they were the only, one of the only ones.
It's because they didn't blend in with the seats behind them as well.
Yeah. But it was just there, one of them stadiums and phenomenal game. And Morientes, I think, was underrated, and I'm going to say it. He was quality in that one. I didn't think they would turn that one around. And let's not forget how good that Real Madrid team was. I think Beckham was there right then, them times, wasn't he?
He was, but he was on the bench for that Stade Louis game.
Why Beckham is the first name of your list? Come on.
Listen, Man Beckham, United, ex-Man United legend.
Bare shots getting fired stability there. Like, allow Beckham.
He wasn't on the bench. He wasn't in that squad, actually.
He wasn't even a squad. He wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
He's a genuine player. I'm trying to give you a lot of respect, but I take it back.
Is R9 and Raul up front and a midfield of Guti and Borja Fernandez and Zinedine Zidane as well.
Man's got Borja R9 Fernandez.
But remember, it's 5-5 on aggregate. And when you're looking at that, that was a crazy way of how away goals really benefited the entertainment in the Champions League as well. Traps, did you have this game on your list? Monaco versus Real Madrid 2004?
No, do you know what? See, with Monaco, I thought about Monaco's upsets and that. And I really thought Monaco's not really... Monaco's upset everyone, if you actually think about it. Yeah, so Monaco really minnows like that. I mean, they come and they go, they emerge with these great teams and then they disappear. That's been Monaco's thing throughout my whole lifetime, that they'll emerge with a great team, they'll win a few important games, the team will get dismantled and then they'll do it again. And
they've done it again.
Yeah, they'll do it. So Monaco are known for this thing. I think they've done us, they've done Man City, Arsenal. They've done Madrid, they've done Arsenal. Everyone's had an upset.
Everybody's done Arsenal, mate. Everybody's done Arsenal. Come on, everyone's done Arsenal.
So it wasn't on my list. Now it was. I saw it, but it wasn't on my list. Now.
Nah, that's okay. Because again, Monaco ended up beating Chelsea in the semi-final as well. Jose Mourinho's Chelsea. That was also a big upset. But I think with the one against Real Madrid, because of the names, the stature of the club as well at the time of speaking, that was something that I had also on the list as well. So that's, again, rather going to be an honourable mention, or it's going to make our final list as well. So I'll add that to Monaco versus Real Madrid. Traps, take us away. If you've got one or two left that you want to mention before we make our final list, where are we going with you?
I'm going to go with, I mean, I don't know if you don't agree with this as an upset, but I'm going to go with Man United, Bayern Munich.
1999?
1999, yeah.
I'll have it as an upset. It was definitely a shock. If I'm going to remarket this podcast as upsets and shocks, then yes, I'll happily
put that one as well. If you look at the going into the game, right? Going into the game, but Bayern Munich were clear favourites. No Keane, no Scholes. I mean, Bayern Munich were pretty much. Did they have anyone else? I'm not too sure. I can't remember. But going into that game, Man United were not favourites. And to be fair, it did show throughout the game. And they hit the bar. Peter Schmeichel was in no man's land a couple of times up until the 87th minute. And obviously, Solskjaer, you know the rest anyway. The rest is history.
Bellingham as well.
Jammy win. I mean, obviously, I remember seeing it.
You just had to be there, Matthew.
Is it Kufor?
Yeah, Joshua's man. Joshua's man, Sammy, bro.
Ghanaian heritage.
Big man. Allow me. That's the greatest time of my life.
I just remember him crying on the floor. That's all I'm saying. That's how I know Kufor. Just him crying.
I never saw that the ending to that match in real time, because after it got to AM, I was all like in panic mode. I was going to cry. I turned the TV off, and then I went away from it. I remember walking around because I was in Jamaica at the time.
Ooh.
And I was walking about, and I thought, you know what? Let me switch it back on. And I switched it back on, and Kufor's on the floor crying. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? What's going on here?
You will never forget that memory, I tell you.
Why did I switch it off? Come on, I missed it. You missed it.
And
live.
Then obviously, you know how it's done the news, and then obviously I saw what happened. I couldn't believe it.
Rewind and watch it back again. There was no Sky Plus at the time. What happened?
I'm saying to watch it again, you had to wait. I had to wait to see the goal, to see what happened. I had to wait for like the news. I can't remember what I think it might have been the morning after or something. But I was completely baffled, and I thought, this was an upset going into that game. I didn't feel like we could. I was scared. I thought to myself, do you know what? This team without Scholes and Keane, this is a big ask, man. But we did it, and I think it's an upset. I think it's one of the greatest upsets in Champions League history, and I think that goes second.
It's one of the biggest shocks.
I think it was an upset. I also had Man United versus Juventus 1999. As an upset as well. One of the greatest Italian teams we've ever seen. Roy Keane getting suspended in that game. Comes in with that amazing captain's header. Andy Cole and Dwight York combining full steam ahead Barcelona. That was also in my list as well. But I'll back Traps with this one. I don't mind if we're going to remarket this podcast as a top 10 Champions League upsets and shocks. Because again, we're not just going to go for the David versus Goliath. Yes. I don't mind it because, go ahead, Joshua.
But then we know what's got to be near the top then if we're going to do that.
That was in my list as well, so I'm not going to shy away from it at all. Yeah. There's no point in me shying away from it because Istanbul 2005 was one of the great.
That's number one.
That's got to be number one, isn't it?
Joshua, even your bias and your positivity about Man United, you can't not have Liverpool, that Liverpool side against that AC Milan side. That was a PlayStation side. It was a football manager side.
Can we just talk about that ball that was played to Shevchenko? Oh, Marlo.
Bro.
You mean Crespo?
Sorry, Crespo.
Joshua doesn't know ball. He doesn't know ball.
Don't know ball.
That's cool. So obviously AC Milan versus Liverpool will make the list as well.
Yeah, but definitely edit that one out, Hamza. Definitely edit that one out.
That's making the bloopers trailer. That's all I'm saying. Matthew and Traps have suffered from it, and I've suffered from it as well. So that's going to make it in there as well, which is good. But before we round off our top 10 list, have we missed out any key information on top 10 upsets and shocks? Because I know our friends, Suki and Travis, will be talking about Spurs, and they'll be talking about how they beat certain teams like Ajax and Erik ten Hag's Ajax and Manchester City. But I'm not sure that makes it into the top 10 list.
I've got a special mention, 2021, Sheriff beating Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. It's not like going to go high on the list, but I feel like that was just big result. And the goalkeeper that day, he had one of the best games ever I've ever seen. He was literally just saving everything. And then Real Madrid equalised, thought they were going to come back and win. And then the guy scored a stunner. And yeah, Bernabeu was in silence. But yeah, that was a big one for them.
Joshua, any honourable mentions before we round off to our top 10?
Barcelona 1, Ruben Kazan 2.
Oh, shock that was as well.
At the Nou Camp.
Crazy to see what they did.
Another one where Barcelona have good, have a top side.
Can I get beat? Joshua, just on that one, I'm glad you mentioned it. I just want to say a quick funny story, right? And I don't condone this, by the way, guys. That time...
Thanks for the notice.
I had a football accumulator on.
Oh, God.
And Barca being at the Nou Camp was the last... That really because it was my last one. And I was set to win. I think it was something like 11.5 grand. And I was so confident they were winning. I remember I was on the phone to my cousin and I was like, I'm on auto trade. I'm thinking, if I get this car first and all this and that, I'm so confident it's happening. And when I saw that full-time result, I was like, no, I can't believe. No. And yeah, from then I quit. At home, 11.5 grand. And that was off £2. Yeah, let's not talk about it. I just want to bring that up quickly. Sorry, guys. So, I don't condone it, by the way, guys. Just letting you know, I don't condone it.
Betting is haram. This will get edited from the podcast. I'll send the clip to Joshua so he can post it on his own socials. But that's all I'm saying.
You know what? Hamza, because I've clipped Hamza. Hamza, by the way, wait till you see a clip tomorrow morning. We'll see it.
Yeah, Joshua, you've been telling me all week that the clip that we recorded a podcast at the time of recording like 2 weeks ago by now. No, a week and a half ago by now.
Oh, it was a week and a half.
A week and a half. And now you're just saying, oh, wait for your clip. The team of the season so far has now changed from what we did it originally from as well. Which is going to be fun indeed. But I don't mind it at all. But I'm getting this one edited out because we don't condone haramness on our podcast at Friday Night Counterattack, depending on who actually is on the show as well. But
correct.
I mean, I saw Trap smoking earlier, but I'm like, smoking's fine. They're not gonna see that on the recording as well, which is all good.
To be fair, this is not narcotics. This is tobacco.
It was medicinal. It was medicinal. I went to the body shop today. Off topic completely. I went to the body shop today, and then I was speaking to one of the assistants, and I was like, "What's CBD?" And she was like, "Hemp." So like, what's hemp? Oh, it's another part of cannabis. I was like, "Oh." Crazy. Like, I love doing that to people, like just people who are just working. And I'm just like, what is it? It's weed. You're selling weed. Absolutely crazy. it's quite a funny story as well. But one topic of conversation I have to throw out there. Joshua and Traps, you will forgive me for this one. You will forgive me. But it is an honourable mention. We are throwing it back to the Emirates for this one. We are throwing it back to Arsenal versus Barcelona. We are throwing it back. Yeah, Matthew, I'm going to give praise where praise is deserved.
Sorry, guys, my iPad is swollen. I just got to sit up a bit. Yes, continue, Hamza.
Go for it. No, because you're going to help me with bigging this one up. And because I definitely know it's not going on to this top 10 list. But I do have to say that Arsenal game against Barcelona, I remember being, again, in Enfield at the time, going to school the next day, seeing my friends who were just so gassed over that incredible win, over how Jack Wilshere played, over how Lionel Messi was silenced in that game as well. I think they played again a season afterwards or a season before where it finished 2-2. I think it was Ibrahimovic scoring twice as well. But that original one, where you got to play with Jack Wilshere just balling out. That was a crazy game entirely. And the fact that it finished 2-1. I'm not going to go on a top 10 Champions League upsets and shocks podcast without talking about one of the biggest shocks from North London, from either side of North London, by the way. So I'm going to talk about Spurs in a second. But Matthew, take it away, my friend, about how that 2-1 game made you feel as an Arsenal fan.
It made me feel very proud, I must say, Man United fans. Now, do you know what?
We've had finals, you've had like round of 16, so it's cool. Relax, Matthew, it's cool. It's all good. It's all good.
And you know what? You know what's so deep? You say it, and I just watch both Traps and Joshua just have a sly smirk. Yeah, that's what you get, Arsenal fan. But listen, that was a phenomenal game for us. Jack Wilshere, that game was balling, absolutely balling. And I was a bit worried for a minute. I think it was Song beside him that game. And I was a bit concerned for Hamza's check-ins and make sure it's
2011. So it was actually after the 2-2 game, by the way. So I got that mixed up. So I do apologize. The 2-2 game was 2010. This one was 2011.
But yeah, Jack Wilshere was phenomenal. I just remember that game. I think it was Fabregas through ball, Nasri cut back, and the guy Arshavan, you know, that celebration. And let me be honest here. When we beat Barca that game,
Were you betting again?
No, I wasn't. Yeah, it's haram, guys. I don't do that stuff. But
I love it. It is making sure he's not committing sin anymore. That's what we like to see from Joshua.
Yes, I stopped them. From Matt, not Joshua.
You have to make sure he doesn't commit any sin. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Listen, guys.
You're helping me on the group chat, Joshua. Make sure he doesn't commit any sin. That's all I'm saying. Make sure he repents.
That was a good eight years ago. We're done now. But that game, phenomenal. Arshavin goal. I don't think many people gave Arsenal a chance in that game. Like that midfield, they had Messi. It was David Villa up top. He missed a couple of chances as well.
Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets as well, midfield.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. But yeah, we did what we do, innit? That's Arsenal Emirates, isn't it? Like, we've seen other teams come to Emirates and get battered. It happens, you know, this season as well. It's just life, innit? It's what we do. That's my club.
Honest question before you start committing more haramness as well, Matthew, as well. Is that Arsenal's greatest moment at the Emirates Stadium?
Probably.
Because you can't think of anything better, can you, really, when you think about it?
The other ones I can think of, there was a game we beat Bayern. I think we beat Bayern, Giroud and Walcott. When Walcott scored, it was over the line. Neuer, I thought we palmed it away off the line.
And then it was 5-1 in the away leg afterwards, I remember that.
I didn't watch the away leg. I was away at the time.
No, that game was 10-2, wasn't it?
The next one was 10-2. The next one
traps,
was 10-2.
Traps, don't worry
10-2
about
on aggregate. Iconic.
What was the first one?
Traps, he said it at the Emirates, bro. He said it at the Emirates. Let's talk about the Emirates. Don't worry about away leg. At Emirates.
Still losing at home at the Emirates.
But you can't really talk about Bayern Munich when they literally come the next time.
No, he asked about the memorable. He said memorable games at Emirates. There was a Bayern one we won. That one for me.
Bayern Munich. No way. When you have deep dark memories of Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich.
You have demons of Bayern Munich.
The other game at Emirates, a memorable one, was Napoli when Mesut Ozil had his debut in the Champions League. Beautiful finish in his first game. As I said, it's what we do. I'm not surprised. We just sit by water. It's not a shock.
How was the Monaco game at home for you, Matthew?
Well, you see that game. Like, there's certain games I watch, but that game was a bit of a weird one. I can't remember it fully, actually. Now, do you know what? We got smoked that one. Kondogbia deflected goal. Carrasco, Anthony Martial balled out as well. And to be fair, they had this big centre-back at is the African guy Abdul or something like that?
The Tunisian guy.
Was he a Tunisian? Magnet to the ball. Couldn't get the ball past him. And they dealt with us. But it happens, isn't it? You lot seen it. Copenhagen, Gala. It's life, isn't it?
I think Man United fans have got better memories in the Champions League at the Emirates than the Arsenal fans, to be fair.
I agree. That blue kit especially. That lineup from Ronaldo, counter-attack.
How can you brag when we had a mannequin in goal for a free kick?
That counter-attack was one of the most beautiful. All that needed was Peter Drury to describe that. That's all that needed.
Or Joshua.
Yes.
See? Joshua, can I get some love in now, bro?
Joshua would have been a kid at the time, so he'd have had a squeaky voice and he'd be like sneezing all the time as well. So Joshua, you're going to have to recreate that with your adult voice. The Monaco defender was Abdennour.
Abdennour, that's the one.
Yeah. Abdennour as well. But that was a crazy kit, crazy goal. I remember personally as well, Traps, when you're seeing the Emirates getting all intimidating with their little flags as well. 9 minutes into the game, Kieran Gibbs slips at the back post and Park Ji-sung settles the tie then and there, because away goals was away goals at the time as well.
I just want to say as well, on Man United, when you guys had that kit, I remember that game was at uni at the time and I watched it and I said to my mate, I'm petrified. I think these lot are here to absolutely smoke us. And I remember that counter-attack. Who flicked it? Was it Rooney? Who flicked it?
Ronaldo flicked it. To Rooney.
And then Park Ji-sung, like, again, that's underrated. But anyway, we'll say that for another day. Like, you lot finished us. But again, it's like, you look at
what I remember about that day is how that day, the daylight on that day was so long. It was like,
remember, yeah.
Proper summer's day.
It was like the sky was like a 3 o'clock kickoff. It was like Everyone needs to see this in HD. There's no light. This you need to see.
And then I tried to go to bed, but it was still light. I struggled.
You guys are killing me, man. You're killing me, man. You're killing me. I miss those days, you know. You know what I mean? You just know Champions League, ITV, United.
What are days like now?
United about to do some business. Don't know who's coming there. People are going to get mad like this.
Yeah,
I don't know who you are. Oh.
And the final upset, I want to say, it's not really an upset, yeah, but I think it deserves a bit of praise because of what happened in the previous game between these two teams. So we're talking about White Hart Lane. We are talking about 2010, 2011. We are talking about Gareth Bale having Maicon on toast.
Ooh.
Smoked salmon. Remember in the first game, there was a sending off in that game as well. I forgot who it was, but it ended up being 4-0 at halftime to Inter Milan at the San Siro. It was Aurelio Gomez, that clanger of a keeper as well, in it. couldn't do it for them at all. And then out of nowhere, Gareth Bale steps out of left back to become the left midfielder and announce himself to European football and world football. And that's when he shone in the return game in the group stage as well. And I believe it was 3-1. And when you've got someone like Peter Crouch or Roman Pavlyuchenko up front, forgive me who it was. Can I just say as well, Aaron Lennon and Gareth Bale, underrated wing duo at the time, because that's when Harry Redknapp was like, you know what, Gareth, go play left mid. And he did. And he fired up that crowd. I've never seen White Hart Lane so gassed up for a game, even against Arsenal as well, I must say. And the fact that he did it against Maicon, who was at the time one of the top three right backs in the world. I'm not going to say he's better than Dani Alves because I don't think he was, but he was on form for Inter Milan.
That was the end of him.
He ended his career that night. Yeah.
He decimated it.
Maicon died that night. Yeah.
When Gareth Bale
ripped him
to
shreds, that was it. He was done.
I don't remember a good game after that. That was it.
I remember him going to Man City and then just stinking the place out at right back. Back up right back to Micah Richards behave. Like, it just didn't happen for him at all, which is absolutely insane. Joshua, what do you remember about that night when Van der Vaart, Crouch and Pavlyuchenko scored? But that night, everyone's lips were talking about Gareth Bale. And Gareth Bale was the biggest footballer in the country at that time because he absolutely killed the reigning champions of Europe.
I think it's nice when you hear about a player like Gareth Bale come through the ranks of Southampton. United obviously wanted him.
Mm.
And you know he's got potential. And you're just waiting. He's had a few. It took such a long time. Wasn't it like a record? He hadn't won a game for Spurs. Every time he started, he lost or something like that.
Yeah, and then 30 games or so.
Yeah, and then bam, he's here, he's ready, and he's here to play at the highest level. And you know, that team that Spurs are docking, that's when Spurs started to, all due respect to Suki and Travis especially, and all my other Tottenham supporters out there, that's when Spurs started to, you know, start to appear from certain shadows, you know.
Modric, Van der Vaart, Bale, what a trio that was in midfield.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, good game. Good game. Good team.
And that's my last shout out that I've got here. There's probably loads I could have added to it, but of the ones that actually meant something to me, that's the last shout out I've got. So before we wrap up and go to our top 10, do we have any more shout outs from anyone at all? Anything that we missed out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know what I like to do? I like to unnerve Arsenal fans. So I was looking through and
it's a safe space here, Traps. You can do it as much as you want.
I was hee-heeing at a couple of results which were back to back. They lost 1-0 to Real Mallorca, and then they lost 3-1 in their next fixture, Panathinaikos.
Ooh, scary time for Arsenal.
So that was a bad time. Ashley Cole penalty, which is ironic because he left shortly after that to go and join their London rivals. Yeah, man, I think that those were proper giant killings. They were Real Mallorca holiday resort. You know what I mean? That's just ripping Arsenal to shreds with like Ashley Cole and the likes of
Was Samuel Eto'o at Real Mallorca then? That would have been crazy.
It must have been then.
No, you would say that, Matthew. You would say that.
Now listen. Hey, Real Mallorca were decent then. Let's not get it twisted.
Name another Real Mallorca player from that team then, if they were decent.
It was either Luque or Pandiani, one of the two played there.
Bro. You mean Deportivo La Coruña, yeah?
Crazy. Now, there was another one there. One of them was there.
Okay, let's check.
They had a Diego something. That's what I remember. Anyway, let's move on from Arsenal, please.
Another one.
Diego something.
Another one was Man United 1, Basel 2.
No way. Matt came out clutch. Luque was Eto's strike partner.
Come on! Please, talk to me!
Nah, he did it. He proved me wrong. Nicely done, Matthew.
Hey, Hamza, can you just say that again for the viewers? Just say it one more time.
All I'm saying is this bit's getting clipped, so it's all good. I don't mind that. When you're happy that you got something right about Arsenal losing to Real Mallorca, that's getting clipped. That's all I'm saying. But nicely done there as well. They also had a centre-back called Nadal, so that's quite funny to see. But it wasn't Rafael Nadal at all. But yeah, Traps, finish us off. Where we go?
Yeah, Man United 1, Basel 2. That was a disgrace.
That group stage was tragic.
We lost to someone else in that group stage as well.
We had the easiest group stage we've ever seen, and we lost to Basel. We drew to Basel at home. We had a couple more teams.
I think it was Shakhtar Donetsk, if I'm correct.
Let's have a look.
Is that like when, this year as well, isn't it?
It is like this year, but besides Bayern Munich, of course, because we were top seed in that one.
Is that Basel? Is that Basel 2011 or Basel 05?
2011.
Oh, so we got to Europa League. We didn't finish fourth.
We got to
Europa League and we played them. I remember that Europa League game we had. Yeah, and it was like Fergie said, "You're not winning this. You're not playing this game. There's no chance of us playing this competition." And
Benfica, Basel, and we had that Romanian team as well. That was Galatasaray, and we lost to we drew to Benfica. Both games, we lost to Basel and drew to Basel. And then we had two wins against that Romanian team. And we just faltered out of that competition. And that was
the
season.
And that was the year after going to the final to Barca as well, with Barca as well. So it was a bad campaign. But the final one I've got is Barcelona Brøndby.
Back in the day.
That was 99 as well. That was a treble season as well. Obviously, group of death. Everyone was like, when the groups came out, it was obviously Bayern, Barca, us, and
Brøndby.
Everyone would just said, Brøndby's done. They're not winning a game. Probably not even scoring a goal. Done. And they managed to go and turn over Barcelona. So hats off. Hats off to them, man. That completes my list.
I've got one last one. It was 2002, Ajax beating Arsenal at Highbury. I don't know if you remember this one. They had that's when they had Mexes and Boomsong. That's when I first saw them two as a partnership.
Nice.
And it was Senegalese, Kalilu Fadiga, I think that's how you say his name.
What a name.
Banged a long-range goal against us, silenced the crowd at Highbury. Yeah, that's one of the first games as well where I got upset. We got smoked by a team I never heard about. And that was a big deal for me, quite upsetting.
There's a team I want to mention because I'm not going to pretend like I know who they played in the quarterfinals to get to the semifinals, but I still find it quite cool that Dynamo Kiev with Shevchenko and Rebrov as an amazing strike partnership got to the semifinals in 1999. And the 1999 final could have been very different if Man United played Dynamo Kiev with a young Andrei Shevchenko. But I don't know who they played in the quarterfinal, but I thought I just mentioned it out there as well, which is good to see. Joshua, we're at that time now where you're looking at the Ghana game and you're getting tense, but you're really tense about what this top 10 list is actually going to look like going forward. So we've got our list of Champions League top 10 upsets and shocks to create. So if we're starting from 10, from who we spoke about, do we agree with Matthew that maybe we leave Ajax versus Real Madrid off this and keep it as a nice and tidy number 11, but not making the top 10 list? What do you think, Joshua?
It's a 10 hard one.
It's a Ten Hag one.
11.
That's fine. Traps is definitely going to keep it at 11 because he doesn't want to speak about ETH right now as well. And it's quite crazy to see that Egypt have also scored as well.
Kudos just scored straight after. It's 2-1.
Oh, great. Great. I love to see it. So if we're not having Ajax versus Real Madrid at number 10, Matthew, where do you think we should have... are we going to have Dortmund versus Real Madrid at number 10? Are we going to agree to have that on the list?
Dortmund, Real Madrid. Do you know what I want? Like, because it was one of the ones that I completely forgot about the one. Mm. I'll give you the Ajax and Real Madrid because it's a game I remember. And as I said, Ajax were very good that game. So yeah, let's stick with that one. Let's keep Ajax and Real Madrid, actually.
Traps, decide and vote. Ajax versus Real Madrid or Dortmund versus Real Madrid for number 10?
Dortmund.
Yeah, so it's 2-2. It's deadlock for that one. Oof. crazy to go for it as well. We'll leave 10 because we're going to go into 9. PSG versus Manchester United, number 9. Are you happy with that one?
Yeah.
PSG versus Man United, number 9. I love to see it. Number 8, are we going to go for Roma versus Barcelona? Matthew?
Yeah, because that's my pick. I think that game was quite, yeah. For me, it's quite an upset. Quite a, I don't, do you know what it is? I think Joshua was saying as well, the team wasn't, that Barca team wasn't the pinnacle Barca team. It was still kind of strong.
They just lost Xavi and Neymar, basically, like you were saying as well.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll keep that one. For me anyway, yeah.
Josh, are you happy with that? Roma versus Barca, right? Sweet.
Yeah, fine.
Right. Number 7, we're going to have to go for Chelsea versus Barcelona. Quite standard. I'd happily pick that one there. That was very cool as well. Number 6, it was Celtic versus Barcelona. Again.
Oof.
Very happy with that one being at number 6. Number 5, this is where it starts to get very, very interesting because we mentioned quite a few of them as well. We've still got Man City versus Lyon to go for. But I think after all the ones we mentioned, Man City versus Lyon could go at number 10 after what we've looked at because that was one of the early ones we spoke about. So we'll leave that there for now. Joshua, number 5, where are we going with this one? We've got Porto versus Manchester United. We've got Monaco versus Real Madrid. We've also got Barca versus PSG to factor into this list as well. What are we adding to number 5 for this one?
It's a good stats here. Talk about proper ones. Yeah, I think I'm going to go Monaco.
Big boy ones.
I'm going to go Monaco, Real Madrid because it's fifth on my actual list. So I'm going to go that one.
Traps, you happy with that one? Monaco versus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to see that one as well. Number 4, we're talking about Deportivo La Coruña versus AC Milan. But do we want that higher, Matthew? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Do you know what it was the type of team that Deportivo were facing? And as I said, as the fact that they even kept a clean sheet against such a team, I think that's got to go a bit higher, I think.
So as an alternative, should we put something like Barca versus PSG at number 4?
Yes.
Happy with that one, Traps?
Yeah.
Versus PSG.
Big one.
That means number 3 is Deportivo versus AC Milan.
Mm-hmm.
Top 3... Ooh. This is where it gets very, very interesting because Traps threw a few curveballs afterwards and I'm very happy that we're making them in there as well. So number 3 is Deportivo La Coruña. Number 2, are we off to 1999 Traps for this one? Or 2005? Yeah. You're really happy with Istanbul being number 1 then?
Yeah. I think that is goes down as obviously what was at stake. 45 minutes to turn it around. I mean, granted, yeah, Dudek encroached the shit out of them penalties.
But, oh my God.
but embarrassing. Yeah, you can't put a toe off the line now with VAR and everything, but Dudek's like just running at the players. It's absolutely insane what he did.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, they got it done nevertheless. I think that goes down as number 1, yeah.
Joshua, talk to me. AC Milan versus Liverpool. Like I mentioned before, the PlayStation team of AC Milan, one of the greatest managers of all time, Carlo Ancelotti. Incredible talent that they had. They had a really good run to the final as well, where Kaká was balling out. Shevchenko, one of the best players in the world. I think he was UEFA Player of the Year that season as well, which is crazy to see. But little old Steven Gerrard and the rest of the Liverpool team soldiered on to create one of the greatest comebacks in European football history. How did that work out for you watching it? And thinking, you know what, AC Milan have bottled one of the biggest games of their career.
Yeah. It's Liverpool's finest night, isn't it? It's their finest hour, definitely this century. Dudek, for me, he stole a living, you know. Every penalty was not legal. That's why I look at it personally. But to come back, Gerrard, Stevie G, fair play, man, fair play. Hamza, you've got me on a Thursday night trying to give me the... listen...
Joshua, you told me Thursday night I'm free after 8 o'clock.
No, but what I'm saying is that I don't want to be chatting about these sort of things. Like, yeah, number one, they're number one, isn't it? That's it. That's enough for me to say. You let other man, let Matt talk. Them man have got like love relationship with Arsenal Liverpool fans. Let me speak on it. I can't. It actually pains me. It's a great night.
Listen,
we're not doing Thursday nights as well, so it doesn't even matter. We're out of European football.
Listen, like Chap said, it's got to go number one. I think even for a neutral, but that game had everything. And you know, for Liverpool to win it with a team like that. I saw Gerrard had to go right back at one stage, no?
Yeah.
Vladimir Smitsa,
Barros, Harry Kewell.
Who was it? Was Traore?
Jimmy Traore.
Come on, seriously. And they won it. But like Trapp said, Dudek was on the penalty spot. Anyway, when I was taking a pen, so took the piss with that one. God.
No, it's absolutely crazy as well. And the fact that they had a rematch 2 years later as well in Athens, and it was a Filippo Inzaghi hit day for AC Milan as well. They got their retribution. But again, it was one of those things when you're looking at AC Milan thinking that team should really be beating this Liverpool team. And it ended up happening as well, which was great. Right.
No, Shevchenko was bad in that first one, though, man. He was so bad. It was
Crespo and Kaká in that attack, which was crazy to see. Gattuso was everywhere on the pitch. And Clarence Seedorf, like you said as well, Traps, one of the best midfielders that we've seen. Just doesn't get the appreciation he deserves as well. But what does get appreciation is everyone's effort in this list, because it has been absolutely insane to go through this list as well. My voice is still not recovered. And I'm still not on a podcast with Traps when I'm actually not ill. So it goes to show that Traps is actually doing very well to put up with me coughing and sneezing on a podcast. So I do appreciate your patience on this one, Traps. But to go from 10 to 1, number 10, we're going for Man City versus Lyon in the quarterfinals in 2020. Number 9, we're going for PSG versus Manchester United in 2019. Number 8, we went for Roma versus Barcelona in 2018, the Greek god in Rome. Number 7, Roberto Di Matteo's Chelsea heroics against Barcelona, against prime Barcelona as well. It was incredible to see. Fun fact, Barcelona have never won the Champions League when Cesc Fabregas was there as a first team player. Do you know how crazy it is? 2011, when he leaves Arsenal to go to play for Barcelona as a false nine, he then stays there until 2014-15 when he moves to Chelsea. And then that's when Barcelona win the league straight away. So Cesc Fabregas was the reason Barcelona never won the Champions League.
Heritage.
He had to go back to Chelsea, or go back to London, I should say, and actually ball out in the Premier League, which was great to see. Number 6, we're going for Tony Watt and Victor Wanyama's heroics for Celtic at Celtic Park against Barcelona as well. Number 5, Ludovic Juli, the rat, as Matthew described him as earlier as well. Unnecessarily, but maybe he has his reasons. Maybe you betted on him once upon a time as well. Monaco versus Real Madrid, 5-5 on aggregate away goals is crazy the back in the day. Number 4, PSG versus Barcelona. Sergio Roberto sticking a toe out. Pandemonium at the New Camp. Neymar's greatest game as a Barcelona player, without a shadow of a doubt. Number 3, AC Milan falter against Deportivo La Coruña. Diego Tristan and Albert Luque ran riot with Walter Pandion, scoring a fantastic goal to begin the comeback in Spain. Number 2, Manchester United versus Bayern Munich, 1999. Teddy Sheringham, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Stefan Kufur. Thank you very much, Peter Schmeichel. Needed to be done.
No need for that at all.
It is a drive by. I didn't mind. That's all I know about Kufur as well. The fact of just looking at him and just crying on the floor. I love to see it. And Traps highlighted it earlier as well, which is great to see. But Peter Schmeichel doing the flip as well was very funny at the same time. Number 1, Steven Gerrard's greatest night as Liverpool captain, one of his greatest nights as a footballer. And AC Milan had a night to forget in Istanbul. With Liverpool coming back from 3-0 down at halftime to draw 3-3 and win on penalties, with Jerzy Dudek basically running at the players as they're shooting in there as well. Just like Matthew when his goalkeeping in his football training sessions every week.
Do you know what? Just a quick question. So, you know, I don't know if you look at kickball. I just want to ask you a random question. Ask a couple of moments. If I gave you like 10 penalties, how many do you think you could score past me?
8.
What?
I'm confident. I've got a video. I'll show you later. I scored a penalty past Travis and I was cold. So I think I'm very confident with penalties.
8? Nah, 8. Cool. We've got problems. Hamza, don't make me travel up there, bro. Seriously, don't make me do that, bro.
You're is that a threat or is that a promise? Because I think I beat you at penalties. I've had a few challenges against like professional footballers. Professional footballers, I should say. But I've beaten them, which is quite cool.
I mean, I don't know now, because obviously I've had a leg injury since, well, in my latter years. But I reckon I could score probably probably 6.
I'm gonna log off, you know. You're
Joshua, actually like
if I even hear more than 5, yeah.
Joshua's doing it in his dressing gown, that's all I'm saying. Joshua's gonna turn up in a dressing gown and still score past you.
No, listen, Joshua's quiet because the score changed in the Ghana Egypt game. That's why he's quiet. I'll
score 4 Matt past you. I'm not good at football, man.
Okay, go.
Says the football commentator, but I don't believe it at all. This could be a challenge for another day, or maybe in the summer later this year as well. To see But before we wrap up, I do have to thank my co-host for an incredible podcast, an incredible conversation on the top 10 Champions League upsets and shocks. First of all, Traps, I want to say thank you very much for your time today. I do promise you there will be a time when we're on a podcast and I'm not coughing and sneezing. So thank you very much for your patience.
Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure, man. Big up, everyone. Yeah.
Big up.
Where can I find you over the year as well? Because I'm sure you mentioned last year as well that you're looking at starting your YouTube channel again. Has that begun? Are you back up on it?
No, that's not begun yet. I've got a meeting. Obviously, I've got some stuff going on with Big Steve. So
nice.
I've got a meeting with him in the next couple of weeks. Going to decide what we're going to do. And then, I mean, the channel will be up and running in the next sort of few months. But I've just thought I'd to put it out there so people know that there's stuff coming. I mean, you catch me on Mandem Talk, you can catch me on Big Six Bants as well, Never a Foul occasionally. There's a show coming up, the show coming on with on a Monday with me and Daps on Never a Foul. That's coming out. Nice. That's starting in the next few weeks. And then you can catch me doing cameos on here, catch me on Instagram as well. I mean, I've slowed down a lot recently because Instagram.
Matthew got you banned.
There's a war on Instagram right now where I can't really say what I want to say or do what I want to do because I find myself getting banned and
you're being silenced.
Algorithms get restricted and whatnot. So I've been taking it real slow on Instagram. But yeah, add me up. Send me a message. Any questions? Anything? I'm here.
Love to see it. Great outro there, Traps. Joshua, thank you very much for your time today. I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing more from you over the season as it goes on as well. I'm expecting to see you off in Germany for the European Championships. I'm expecting BBC to give you the call up because some of their commentators on live BBC FA Cup replays have been very, very dull. I know they're your colleagues, but I think you can do a lot better because I've heard you on commentary and I think you're very engaging as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from you. What can we expect from you going ahead in 2024? Besides coming onto a podcast with a dressing gown, because that's a wild fashion choice, I have to say, Josh.
It's very cold, bold, man. I don't know about you, but you know, listen, commentary money ain't long.
Got like three layers on as well, so I know about the freezingness as well. Crazy to
the
see.
Energy built, yeah, same. You know, just more games, you know, more commentaries and everything. We've got Man City Burnley end of the month, which I'm looking forward to for another company I can't mention, but internationally, which is good. It's a full 90. I'm seeing United next month, Blues to Man United, so I get to interview perhaps best mate Ten Hag, so that'll be fun. I'll be telling him why is he saying he doesn't play man marking, but everybody can see that it's man marking in the midfield, so I'm looking forward to that. I hope he doesn't get sacked because I want to look
at him. I mean, I can send you an email of questions to ask him because I've got a lot of questions I need answering, but yeah.
So it's more of the same. Yeah, more of the same. Just looking down until where Europe starts. That's when it gets really busy again. So
that's what we're doing this podcast for as well. The only team actually that's represented in Europe this season isn't Manchester United, but it's actually Matthew's Arsenal, who are going to be in the round of 16 at the Champions League as well, which is good to see. I mean, he's just drinking his water like he's not going to get knocked out in the quarterfinals, which is crazy to see.
That young Porto win coming.
We're seeing Van Olsen and Mehdi Taremi ball out versus Saliba and Gabriel. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be great fun. But before that happens, Matthew, I want to say thank you very much for your time and your effort on this podcast. I love the list that you brought. I love the energy that all three of you brought as well. But where can everyone find you and your incredible Back of the Net podcast?
So YouTube, Instagram, you know, I'm always commenting, laughing at Traps' Insta posts, bro. They, I'm not gonna lie, they are jokes. I'm one of the masterclass that appreciate them, Traps. Don't worry.
We're one of the few
in it. Twitter, TikTok. Listen, I'm trying to do all the social media, but yeah, YouTube and Twitter are the main ones. But yeah, listen, thanks for having me on, Hamza. Traps, Josh, have been a pleasure again, bro.
Always. Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. Bro. Good.
Loving this session, loving this energy as well. It's been great to have everyone on. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. Do follow the guys, their descriptions, their Instagram details are going to be in this description below as well. And do give them a subscribe on their YouTubes and on their Instagrams, which would be great to see. Enjoy your evening. Thank you very much for your time. And we will see you later on. Take care.